ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, first of all, we should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who out of His infinite grace and mercy has granted us this opportunity to gather in His house. My respected brothers, for those of you who remember, 2 weeks ago we began a discussion concerning the teachings given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the institution of nikah. We also discussed the importance the Shariat has attached to it and the various wisdoms behind a person performing nikah. That is, a person is able to control his shahwat, is able to control his desires. It becomes a means of him lowering his gaze. And also we discussed the ta'aleem given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning not delaying that nikah, not letting our children become too old, not letting them come to such a stage where they have already committed guna and committed sin and then taking them and performing their nikah. But that the ta'aleem of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being that this thing should be performed beforehand, this thing should be performed when their shahwat, when their desires are at a height, so that the institution of nikah becomes a barrier. It becomes a means of protecting them from breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, inshallah, on this occasion, we will discuss a few aspects, a few guidelines given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the choice of a person to whom we should get married to. We find, my respected brothers, at this point, the thought should not cross the minds of most of us that we have already performed our nikah. What will be the benefit in us hearing what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught concerning what a type of wife that should be chosen? This is only for the youngsters. This is only for a few amongst us. It is not for all of us. Some of us are 40, some of us are 50. We have performed our nikahs a long time ago. My respected brothers, that thought should never come through our mind. For two simple reasons. The first reason being that the ta'aleem of deen, no matter which aspect of deen it is, if a person has to learn it with the correct intention that he is going to bring it into his life and not only keep it to within himself but pass it on to others and take it to the four corners of the world, then that is already one very, very great benefit. And the second benefit, my respected brothers, and much more important is for us to realize, is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given guidelines and he has given guidance that this is the type of woman or this is the type of boy that you should look for when getting your daughter or your son married, my respected brothers, it becomes the incumbent duty of every parent that is sitting here to think to himself that what type of a son am I bringing up in my home? What type of a daughter am I bringing up in my home? Am I bringing up somebody that is desirable in the light of the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married or not? We should look at whether these sifat, we should look at whether these qualities are prevalent or are existent amongst our children. Because, my respected brothers, it is our duty to make an effort to bring these qualities within our children. We find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tunkahu al-mar'atu li-arba'in. We have heard this hadith many times, but by way of muzakara, I will mention it once again. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that generally a woman is married for four reasons, for four qualities, for four traits that are prevalent in her. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned four things, and also we learn from this hadith
that these four things are not looked down upon. It is not wrong if a person has to look for these four qualities. But Nabi Pak has shown us that generally a woman is married for these four qualities, and what should be the most important in our eyes. The first quality being limaliha, because of the wealth of that woman or the wealth of her family. We find that generally when a person is looking for a wife, sometimes the desire comes in his heart, maybe he's not so well off, he looks for a woman with wealth. And the second quality being lihasabiha, the lineage of that family. What type of status, what type of position the family holds in society. Are the members of the family looked up towards? Are they respected? Or is the family looked down upon? Are they known to be the breakers of the commands of Allah Ta'ala? Or are they thieves in the family, etc.? What type of impression the society has concerning the family? That is the second thing that normally a person looks for in a woman, to check what type of family she is coming from. And the third quality, and unfortunately, my respected brothers, I say this unfortunately, this has become the most important quality in most of our eyes, lijamaliha, the beauty of that particular woman. We find, my respected brothers, that if you look at the three things that I have mentioned so far, limaliha, walihasabiha, walijamaliha, each of these three things are temporary things. Each of these things are here today, they can be gone tomorrow. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to say concerning money, al-malu ghadun wa rahihun, that money is such a thing, wealth is such a thing, that it is here in the morning, it's gone in the evening. We see in society, sometimes somebody is very well off, and then some hadith comes, some tragedy afflicts that family so far as their wealth goes, and the person has lost all his wealth. Now if we are going to make the criterion of our choice in a woman her wealth, and tomorrow that woman's family has to lose their wealth, then my respected brothers, what is going to stop that feeling coming in our hearts that I have wasted my time, I have not achieved what I wanted when getting married. The second quality, lihasabiha, the lineage of that family. Today somebody has got a good name, tomorrow somebody in the family can do something and that name is lost. Lijamaliha, the beauty of that woman. If you look at the nature, the very trait of insan, my respected brothers, is this, that when he hasn't got something, then his heart is going to lean towards the thing. And the moment he's got it in him, then the novelty is lost, then he starts looking in another direction. Take that beautiful car, take that beautiful vase, take that beautiful ornament which you saw in the shop. You couldn't have it, it was too expensive, you saved up for it, you bought it, now you put it in your home. It looks beautiful to you the first day, it looks beautiful the second day. What happens once the first month is gone? What happens once the second month has come? What happens when you've got to look at that same vase and live in the same house with it year upon year? Likewise, a woman also, my respected brothers. If you are going to make the criteria of marrying her, only her beauty, only our inclination towards her, once she has come in our control, once she is in our marriage, when she has got to listen to us, at that time, my respected brothers, we are going to have to face her day in and day out. At that time, we are going to come to that same woman at the end of the day. We are going to be tired. What is going to instill within that woman the urge to present our meal before us? What is going to teach her that she should treat her husband kindly? What is going to teach her to speak correctly towards her husband? My respected brothers, that is the fourth quality, wali diniha. Nabi Apostle said that the fourth quality a person looks for when he gets married is the deen and the characteristic, and what type of a woman is that person concerning her deen. And my respected brothers, Nabi Apostle said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, become successful concerning deen. Give preference to the deen of that woman over every other quality. Because like I mentioned, the wealth may be gone, tomorrow she can meet up in an accident, that beauty is gone, but the deen, that thing that is going to teach her that I should serve my husband, that thing that is going to instill within her that my success in akhirat is concerning pleasing my husband, that thing that is going to bring taqwa in her heart, that is the deen and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we make that the criterion, my respected brothers, then you can never ever go wrong. And Nabi Apostle has said, "Ad-dunya kulluha mata," that this world, everything in it is mata, it is things which you use, it is full of possessions. Wa khayru mata'iha al-mar'atu salihah, the best thing, the best thing a person can ever have in this world is a pious wife. My respected brothers, we cannot even imagine the wisdom behind why Nabi Apostle said this. Because, my respected brothers, that unfortunately now when we are looking to get married, the person does not want to look for that woman in parda. The person does not want to look for that woman who has got the ta'alim of deen. Why? Because he thinks to himself that if I'm going to get married to such a woman, then she's going to stop me when I want to go here, when I want to go there. When I want to break the command of Allah Ta'ala, she's going to stop me. My respected brothers, we are only looking at our desires. We are not looking at the akhirat. We are not looking at the halat of those children. My respected brothers, marriage brings with it a responsibility. Allah Ta'ala does not address the disbelievers. He addressed the mu'mineen in the Holy Quran when he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That all you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. My respected brothers, in whichever direction we can look, we can try to reason it out. But the child, 9 times out of 10, is going to follow that mother. You can be as pious as you like, you can try to put the greatest influence upon that child, but it is the mother of that child, it is the mother who is going to breastfeed that child, it is the mother who is going to feed that child, and 9 times out of 10, the child is going to follow that mother. And we are given the instruction in the Holy Quran that save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. If we make this our niyat, if not for ourselves, then at least for the sake of those children, that they become namazis, that they bring deed into their lives, let us look for such a woman who is going to be worried about the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not worried about the things of this world. We find that Nabi Paak said in another hadith that Mustafad al Mu'minu ba'da taqwa Allahi khayrun lahu min zawjatin salihatin. That after gaining the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after instilling within us the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing in this world that will benefit a person more than a pious wife. And Nabi Paak described what a pious wife is. And this is for us to learn now that we have to instill these qualities within our daughters. It is senseless, my respected brothers, us being very pious, us attending the masjid, us worrying about our deen, but we do not worry about that daughter. She is sent to the co-educational school. She mixes around in the afternoon where she is not supposed to be going. All sorts of ideologies are coming within her head. She is sitting in front of the shaitan box that is teaching her that go against your husband, go out, go further in society, expose and reveal yourself in society. My respected brothers, tomorrow that same woman is going to go into somebody else's house and you will have to live with her. What right do we have to destroy that person's akhirat and to destroy the akhirat of the children of that person? This is a responsibility. I'm mentioning it time and again, my respected brothers. It is for us to realize. Nabi Paak doesn't describe the pious wife as what? In nazara ilayha sarratu. That when he looks at this woman, then he becomes pleased. He becomes pleased at her demeanor. He becomes pleased at her manner. Aqsama alayha barrathu, that if he has to take a qasam concerning this woman, that definitely my wife would do this, then she would free him from that qasam, she would carry that correctly. That in nazara alayha sarrathu, wa in ghaba anha nasahathu fi nafsiha wa malihi. And when he has to become absent from that woman, when he has to go on safar, when he has to go on journey, or when he has to leave his home in the morning and go towards his business, my respected brothers, this is where we are failing. We find that in every aspect of our life we want to follow the West. We get carried away by how glamorously they present their society. But if you look at the type of filth that is going on in their homes, if you look at the type of filth that is found in the society, which is beyond imagining. When a man leaves his home in the morning, he does not know where his wife is going, who she is mixing with, who she is talking to. My respected brothers, what type of a life is that? The children will see their mother talking to somebody else. What type of children are being brought up in that home? We find that the husband and the wife are both gone into the business. They are both working to own this dunya. No consideration is given towards those children. That is the life of the West. And unfortunately, we find that step by step, in every aspect of our life, we are starting to follow them. Nabi Paak described their pious wife as another quality. Wa in amaraha ata'athu. When he commands his wife, when he tells his wife to do something, then she obeys him and she carries it out. My respected brothers, in how many of our homes are these things found? We find that it is only the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only the fear of Allah ta'ala that is going to instill within that woman the urge to do these things for her husband. And then, my respected brothers, life in this world will become very, very sweet and it will become a great source of joy to us, because we know that when we leave our home, we can trust that woman that is found there. She will look after our wealth, she will look after our possessions, she will look after our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to this institution of nikah, the ayat which I recited, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That it is an ayat, it is a sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has referred to the institution of nikah as being one of his ayat, as being one of his signs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That he created from amongst you wives. We find, my respected brothers, that automatically the first aspect of the ayat, if we have to think to ourselves, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He created min anfusikum, He created from the same species wives for us. Allah ta'ala could have created our wives from amongst the jinnat, And any person can think that the moment you cross two different species, that automatically there's going to be fight, there's going to be disagreement between the two of them. Allah Ta'ala, in order to create this love, in order to create this affection, He created partners for us from amongst the same species, from amongst ourselves. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may gain sukoon, so that you may gain contentment, so that you may gain peace from that nikah. And we have to think to ourselves, my respected brothers, are we finding this peace? Are we finding this contentment? Are we finding this sukoon in our nikah? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to create this, and only when we will turn towards the teachings of Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we will implement these things concerning the choice of the wife, concerning how we live with that wife, then only sukoon will be found. Because we find one hadith, Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ, that there are three qualities, there are three categories of people concerning which it is haqq upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He should aid them, that He should assist them. And one such category is النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ, that is a person who wants to get married, but his niyat behind his marriage, the reason he wants to get married is afaf, in order to gain chastity, in order to protect himself. My respected brothers, how many amongst us have the niyat of deen in our minds when we get married? How many amongst us consider the fact that we are getting married because it's the sunnah of Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I am getting married in order to bring deen in my life. I am getting married because Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that to get married is half of deen. I am getting married so that I may find a pious woman, so that even when I want to break the command of Allah Ta'ala, she may become a rifa'ah, she may become a barrier. How many of us have this niyat in our heart? Some of us are getting married because our parents are forcing us. Some of us are getting married in order because we want to have a good time with that woman. How many of us, my respected, bring this niyat of deen in our heart? Allah Ta'ala has said, it is a promise of Allah Ta'ala that this nikah is one of His signs, is one of His ayat, and the quality of this nikah is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. You will find that sukoon, you will find that contentment. Allah will place that contentment there. But my respected, we have to adopt the road shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will place between you and your wife مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, two qualities. And even if you look at the sequence in which it is mentioned, already there is hikmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first quality, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala will place between you and your wife love. He will place affection between the both of you. We find, my respected brothers, if we think and consider that the person is very, very young, he gets married to that woman, he is attracted towards her, she is beautiful. At that time, Allah Ta'ala places love in his heart. He lives with her, he fulfills her rights. That woman also will fulfill his rights because she loves him, and that affection and that newness of that marriage is there. But as the years pass, as she gives birth to a few children, then she is no more looking as good as she was. We find this is the Nizam, the system of Allah Ta'ala, that woman is going to put on weight as she gives birth to children. Now we find, my respect, that the same person is going into society, unfortunately his eyes are falling upon everything else, and at that time his desires, his shahwat is growing in his heart. We find, my respect, that Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala, after that love, will place rahmat in your heart. He will place mercy in the heart of that person. That person will think and consider, this woman served me for so many years, this woman bore my children for me, now how can I desert her, and now how can I turn in some other direction? And likewise, that woman also will have rahmat and mercy for her husband, that he has served me for so many years, he has seen to my needs for so many years, then he will find sukoon, will find contentment in that home. Because Allah will place his love, and later on, Allah Ta'ala will place his rahmat between that husband and wife. We find then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that in this are signs that for that people that are thinking, that are making tafakkur, that are pondering over the system of Allah Ta'ala, that how He has created this oneness that is found between a husband and wife. My respected brothers, if you have to ponder over the institution of nikah, it will lead us to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we find that that woman who is brought into the home of her husband, the husband does not desire that any outsider should look towards her. He does not desire that she should serve anybody else besides him. And because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, that woman becomes completely subservient towards her husband. She gives everything over to her husband that she has looked after throughout her entire life. And you find that automatically, like that, the banda has to think and he has to realize, Allah has given me everything. Allah is sustaining me. Allah is looking after me.
How can I turn in any other direction besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like how that man would become absolutely angry that he can even go to the extent of taking the life of his wife if she has to turn towards another man. Like that, we can understand the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we have to turn this forehead and turn our inclination towards anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make shirk with Allah ta'ala. Like that, in the institution of nikah, we can see the wisdom behind this concept of tawheed, behind turning solely and completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have looked at the one aspect of it concerning the boy, when he, what type of a woman he should look at. We find, my respected brothers, the ta'lim of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also found on both sides. Nabi Akbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs the father of that child, informs the father of that daughter, that إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَجَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَدِيثٌ. O Kama Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a proposal is received in your home for your daughter, at that time you find that that person is such that you are happy with the akhlaq of that person, you are happy with the deen of that person, then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the father, فَزَوْوِجُ, get your daughter married to that person. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to that father, look at how wealthy that person is, look at how handsome that person is, look at what family that person is coming from. The main criterion, the most important thing, is the akhlaq and the deen of that person. If you are happy with this, then get your daughter married to that person. My respected brothers, wallah, if you only have to think and look at these ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see that the solution to all the problems of this world lie in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The broken homes, the destitute children, the number of divorces that is taking place, that sukoon that is no more found in the home, everything, the solution lies in the teaching of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If only we will forget to our parents of the West and bring these things in our life, my respect for such peace and such contentment will come. Because let us think, when we're getting that daughter married, she is our daughter, we have brought her up with love and with affection. Tomorrow when we look at the world only of that person, when we look at that person standing in society and we grant our daughter to that person, then we hear he has struck her, we hear he has beaten her, we hear that that person is drinking, he's not looking after our daughter, then we are going to cry and then we are going to think that what a great musibah has fallen upon us. My respect for us, it is only our craft, it is only deen that is going to change that fear within that person to look after that woman, to treat her nicely at the time when he loses his temper, at the time when it is absolutely easy for him to strike her and nobody is going to question him. At that time, it is the fear of Allah Ta'ala that is going to stop that person. My respected brothers, we want good for our daughters, but we go about it completely wrong. We go about it completely the other direction. That is why Nabi Apostle says, if you are happy with the deen and the akhlaq of that person, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, get your daughter married to that person. Why? إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزٌ. If you do not do this, if you do not make deen and akhlaq the criterion for the acceptance of that proposal, then there will be fitna and fasad upon the face of the earth. The Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my respected, what he has said is absolute haq and it is absolute truth. And we can look around us and we can look at the condition that is found amongst us. We have left the teaching of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why there is this problem. Look. Just one incident you mentioned in the life of the Sahaba, but it's like that there are so many, the life of the Sahaba are replete with examples, with guidelines for us, if we can only bring these things into our life. Look at the case of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Yazid bin Muawiyah, the son of Muawiyah, who was a ruler at that time, and he was a person that was very, very wealthy, he sent a proposal to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu for his daughter, Darda. And we find that at that time, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu considered the proposal and he turned it down. When the news was received that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had turned, now you remember Yazid bin Muawiyah was a prominent person, he was a ruler at that time, and this proposal had been turned down which had come for his daughter. Look at our condition and think to ourselves, if some ruler, some wealthy person has to extend a proposal for our daughter, we won't look left, we won't look right, straight away we will only give our daughter in the family. Because my respect is, unfortunately, we have given importance to these things. Status, standing in society, etc., these things have become important to us. You find that when the rejection of the proposal, the news was received, then there was a person who used to work for Yazid, a lowly person in his court. He told Yazid that, give me permission, may Allah Ta'ala find you a good wife, give me permission to also propose to the same woman. At first he turned him down. When he asked him again, so he told him, okay, you can propose for that woman. Now you find the respect base that here is an ordinary worker, he is a person who has a low standing in society. He sends a proposal to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and as Abu Darda radiallahu anhu gets him married to his daughter. Now we find that as it's common in society, the people begin to talk, that he turned down the proposal of the ruler and he gave his daughter to a lowly person like this. So somebody came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and he questioned him that why was this your reaction? Why did you react like this? My respected brothers, here in this reply, we have to learn our lesson and think for ourselves what has become of our priorities. He said, that nazartu ila Darda, I looked toward my daughter Darda, and he said, ma dhannukum bi Darda idha qamat ala ra'siha khasyan, that what do you think? What do you think will be the condition of my daughter Darda when, after getting married to such a rich person, standing at her head will be eunuchs, will be slaves that will attend to her every whim and her every desire. وَنَظَرَتْ إِلَىٰ بَيْتٍ, and she will look towards such a house wherein the ornaments and everything is so beautiful and so many of the things of this world is, that يَلْتَمِيَ أُوْسِيهَا بَصَرُهَا, that her eyes will begin to shine and she will be taken in by the gleam and the glamour of all that is found and that is presented before her. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that أَيْنَ دِينُهَا مِنْهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ, that what will happen to the deen of my daughter at that day if this is going to be her condition. My respected brothers, he understood the threat that this dunya and the things that of this dunya will pose to the deen of his daughter, and that was the criterion why he turned down the proposal. To us, my respected brothers, the way our minds have become conditioned, we will think in completely the opposite way. We find, my respected brothers, we have to learn from these things and bring these things into our life. And we find that once a person has found the type of woman he is looking for, he has looked at the piety of that woman and he has sent the proposal, then my respected brothers, we find that that boy should, before sending the proposal, he should perform istikhara namaz, he should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should make mashwara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find out whether there is khair, whether there is good for him in getting married to that woman. If he receives an indication from Allah Ta'ala and he finds his heart leaning towards that woman, then he should send that proposal. My respected brothers, we find that here again, if you look at the guidelines shown to us by Nabi Apostle Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَاتٍ, if one of you has to send a proposal to a woman, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ مَا يَدْعُوهُ إِلَىٰ نِكَاحِهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ, if he has the ability that he glances at the woman to whom he has sent the proposal, whom he wants to bring into his nikah, then he should do so. My respected brothers, look at the ta'aleem of Nabi Sallallahu. He said, one glance at that woman, that we go to the house, gain the permission of the parents, and in front of a mahram, we take one glance at the woman, then we come back, our trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make istikhara, seek mashura from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the firm yaqeen that the success of the marriage is only in the hands of Allah ta'ala, and I am doing it for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one ta'aleem of Nabi Sallallahu. And the other ta'aleem, the type of filth that has come into our homes, the type of filth that has come into our minds, that it is necessary in order for us to know whether the marriage is going to be successful, that I should send my daughter out with that boy, that he should come and he should speak to her. How am I going to know if they are going to live with each other? How am I going to know if they are compatible? All these strange sorts of terms that have been said to us by the West that create a license for us to send that boy and that girl out long before the marriage, because now you suppose they are engaged, let them go out, they are going here, they are going there, long before the marriage. The things that are supposed to take place after the marriage have already been done, and at that time he's no more interested in the daughter. At that time shame comes upon the society. At that time they break the proposal. The one family is not talking to another family. My respected brothers, that is the situation of the West, and that is what we have brought into our homes. Nabi Sallallahu gave the Sahaba the ta'aleem of one glance towards that woman, because that woman is a haram upon him. After he has proposed to her, till he gets married as any other woman, she is haram, and Nabi Sallallahu has cursed at that person and looks towards that woman and the one towards whom the gaze is directed, that is a woman that is haram upon a person. So we learn from this, my respected brothers, that that is all that is necessary, one glance at that woman. Thereafter, should the third party feel that they want to get married, they get the daughter married to that person, then automatically, then, if you find that they accept the proposal, then there is no need for another engagement after that. There is no need to gather all the people together, intermingling of men and women, all sorts of wrong things taking place, dances na'uzubillah taking place, music na'uzubillah being played, all sorts of things that we have learned from the West, all sorts of things that we have learned from the Hindus around us, from the Christians around us, and we have brought these things into our life. My respect is that it could never have been gotten from the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These things were not found in their life. From where else could we have got it besides from the Nasara, besides from the Yahud? We find that unnecessary expenses is incurred in an engagement taking place. Thereafter, a long period is taken. We wait for a long time before we actually get the two of them married. At that time, they are both inclined towards sin and they break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Nabi Abbas who said that there are three things that should never be delayed. And one of those things is the marriage of a salient, of a woman who is not married once her partner has been found. It should not be delayed. It's not necessary to wait for the uncle from India to come. It's not necessary to wait for my brother Morana from another province to come. It is not necessary the brother is writing an exam in his university, he's going to come in a few months' time. Why are we creating all these delays? Why are we making it so difficult? Such a simple and sweet sunnah of Nabi Abbas that he sees one of his sahaba, one from the Ashara al-Mubashara, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and he noticed some sufra, something like saffron on his clothes, which is not permissible for men. So he asked him, that what is this saffron that I see on your clothes? What is this sufra? He said that I got married to a woman. And we find that he informed Nabi Abbas that his marriage had taken place. We find, let us look at this. He's one of the closest sahaba of Nabi Abbas. Nabi Abbas didn't even know he had gotten married. He was in Medina. Nabi Abbas was also in Medina. Didn't he realize, didn't he think that there would be more barakat if I called the Nabi of Allah, that I should delay it, I should try to bring the Nabi of Allah to my nikah? My respected brothers, we find from this, we learn from this, that Sharia does not attach importance to these things. That marriage should not be delayed. We find another incident which is also shown to us, where Hazrat Salman radiallahu tells Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that go to the tribe of Banu Lays and present a proposal for me over there. I want to get married to a woman from this family. So he goes there on behalf of his friend, he speaks to the parents, he speaks of the fact that Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu brought Islam very early, he speaks of his prominence, he speaks how pious he is. Then the parents consider and they say that we don't want to get our daughter married to Salman radiallahu anhu, we want to get her married to you, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So we find that straight away at that occasion, he considers, he says, okay, I'm prepared to get married to your daughter. There and then, in that very majlis, they didn't go out to look for Nabi Abbas Lawson, they didn't go out to look for somebody else, and one called them, the nikah was performed automatically in that condition. But respect to somebody had to tell us about something like that taking place today, we think that this person is gone mad, something is wrong with this person. But we find that this is how our thinking has become compared to the teaching of Nabi Abbas Lawson. So we find that at that time, he goes out after having married that woman and he looks for Salman radiallahu anhu and he goes to him. Now think, my respected brothers, if we send our friend to go and give a proposal by somebody's house and he goes and gets married to that woman and then he's coming back now to tell us that he got married to him, what will happen to us? How angry will we become? We won't talk to that person for the rest of our life. He comes to Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu and he tells him that there is something I have to tell you, but I am feeling very, very shy, I am feeling very, very ashamed. So he asks him, do not fear. Tell me, what is it that is shaming you? What is it that you are feeling shy about? He says that I went there, I presented the yaqeen that they had, that nothing in this world and in the akhirat happens except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything is in the control of Allah ta'ala. He says that ana ahakku an astahyi minka an astubaha wa kana Allahu qad qaddaraha laka. He said that I should be more ashamed of you that I had the audacity to send a proposal to a woman whom Allah has made muqaddar for you. This is the type of yaqeen that they had, that he was in the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala that he should get married to this woman. I didn't even have the right to send a proposal for this woman. That was the type of cleanliness that they had in their heart. My respected brothers, this is what we have to bring into our life. I've gone long beyond the time. Brothers should forgive us. We find that it is a holiday, so we took a bit more of your time. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life an opportunity, we will discuss actually the function of nikah, how it should be carried out, and how the man and woman should live together in the light of the ahadith and the weakness of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us.